Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Wonderful. The Lord is good and all the time, and that is His nature. It's so exciting to be in the house of God, to see that we are growing, we are multiplying. I want us one more time to celebrate C3, the leaders, the cell leaders, for joining our big family. It is exciting. It is very, very exciting to see what God is doing. You see, friends, over 20 years ago, we launched out to be a small group church. We're a big church, but we decided to go small in our small groups, in our cells. And today, when we look at what God is doing, we celebrate the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the commitment and the passion of the people, because of the vision God has placed on our hearts. So we are grateful. We are grateful. You are a part of what no any other people in other places can even experience. When people visit and they see the number of people, not just coming for an event, but doing life together. You see, this is what God has called us to do, like we saw last week. Jesus, shall we pray? Lord, we thank you. Speak your word. Lord, speak your word today. Speak your word to your people. Your word that transforms lives, that sets people free. Your word that delivers, that makes us the kind of people that you desire. I pray, oh God, that you will help us, you will enable us to be that which you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We started off last week by looking at small groups. We are a cell-based community church celebrating Christ, growing and multiplying. Each one reaching one, touching those around us with the love of Jesus, bringing healing to the cities and the nations. Like I said, 20 years ago, probably even at the beginning of Watoto Church, it was then KPC, 75 people attended that very first service. Today, we are over 30,000 people. This is God at work. It is God at work. And how did we get here? 20 years ago, about 97, we launched out to become a small group church where people in the different localities meet together and celebrate the goodness of God, touching those around about them with the love of Jesus. And today, we are seeing real life stories of the transforming power of God touching people's lives. People are literally coming in droves to the saving knowledge of Christ. This is God at work. How did we get here? We got here because we need to understand what God is up to. You see, the early church did this. We saw last week from Acts 2:42 that the believers, actually, this is what it says. It says that all the believers, can you say all? That means no one was left out. All the believers came together. They devoted themselves to studying the word, to praying together, sharing in what they had. And the Bible says that awe and wonder, that means signs and wonders followed them. It's amazing how today we start by chasing after signs and wonders. No, God wants us to be united. Tell your neighbor, we must be united. Unity is so important. So last week we saw how we were created for community. Today we are engaging yet another gear, because you and I have been called out to reach communities with the love of Jesus. So there's going to be growth, there's going to be discipleship, God is going to transform our lives. And when God touches your heart, literally touching your life, changes everything about it, changes your perspective, you cannot hold that good thing to yourself. You will always be eager to tell someone about what God has done in your life. That's called a testimony. It's called a testimony. I have watched my children grow. To tell you that our hearts, we were created selfish. To tell you that we were created selfish, I've watched my children grow. I have three children. Every one of them, I don't send them to a school where they are taught to be mean. But when you give them something, a child holds it back and doesn't want to give it back to you. And if you're not careful, you can grow with that mentality until old age. But God is at work. Hallelujah. He changes lives. He makes us more aware of what's happening in our environment. And this is what God is doing. Today, we look at how you and I have been called out to reach community. Because it's inherent in every human being. As much as we are mean by nature, but when God touches your life, you cannot stand by and watch someone go to hell. You cannot stand by and watch someone get in trouble without stopping and helping them. You will help them. We saw 2 weeks ago a group of 12 young boys in the Philippines were trapped in a cave. This was no ordinary cave, friends. This cave was literally 3 kilometers long. So they were trapped in this cave and there was no way out because they were prevented from coming out by water. There was a heavy downpour that prevented these guys from coming. The world literally came to a standstill. People, volunteers from all across the world, divers, Navy SEALs, they came because of one thing, to rescue those boys who were lost. The families had lost all hope. But guess what? When 2 British divers went into that cave and discovered that these boys were weak, but they were alive. So there was preparation made. People dived in there. They went and picked one boy at a time. Every time these boys were brought out, there was celebration because they were once lost, but now they've been found. People thought they were dead, but now they were alive. That is the power of community care. That is the power of community care. And these people, they didn't even know they were the hands and the feet of God in rescuing these boys. But what about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? You and I now know that God has empowered us. He's called us to reach out and touch our communities and care for those in our communities. Because in our communities, there are real needs and real problems. Like I said, when you see someone hurting, you will do everything to stop them. And this is an ideal situation. But in our society, it has changed. Today, if you stop someone to help you, they will stop because they are expecting you to pay them. It's true. You get a flat tire in town, get stuck in a bad road, they will stop only because they want you to pay them something. No one now does anything for free. Worse still, when you get an accident. When you get an accident, they are coming, they are picking your phones, they are picking your money, they don't care, you're injured, the injury is bad, you're crying. How do we get to that place when we know, when someone says, you know, I must call an ambulance? What is that number? 999. When people decide that this is what we want to do. Several years back, I had taken my wife, then my fiance, to my village so I could introduce her to my family. So I took her to see my beautiful town of Lira. And yes, beautiful. You have to believe it. So as we were coming back, this crazy driver hit us. It was about 8 p.m. And villagers came from nowhere. They took away everything from us. We were there in chaos. It took a stranger, some guy who was driving a lorry for construction that put everyone in and took us to town. The next day, one young man shows up in the police and says, you know what? I witnessed what happened yesterday. But guess what? He had my belt around his waist. He had my belt. That young man needed Jesus. He needed Jesus. So as God's people, the church, you know, God has called you and I. He's called you and I for one thing, to care for community. To care for community. We have to go back into our communities and be practical in what God has called us to do. This is what Jesus said in Mark 16:15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I love that phrase that go into all the world. So wherever the Lord sends you, you must go. Pastor Brian, if we were to make an advert of people to come so we can send them for missions to the UK, to America, you would see. You would see the number. But you just saw region C3 come here. They had names like Katoke, Kalokole. They had rare names. If we were to say, go there. No. I'm not going there. Friends, when your car breaks down, the community must stop everything to help you. And how do we get there? When the church, not just within these walls, when we tear down these walls and go out and be practical in our Christian living, that is when we are going to start to see real transformation stories in our lives. That is what God is calling us to do. Friends, we have work to do. There's so much work to do. I am so glad that this work, you cannot do it in your own strength. The Lord Jesus can empower you. Hallelujah. He can empower you. He can strengthen you. He can guide you into all truth. And you can do extraordinary things in His name. You already have the assignment. You already have the capability. Go out. Go out and reach out. You know why? Because the community is lost. The community is lost. They're in pain. The community is lost without Jesus. It doesn't matter how much we look at figures and say, oh, our economy is so good. People are hurting. No wonder Jesus describes the behavior of a community very well when he told the story of the Good Samaritan. He was describing what happens in society. There was this man who got injured and everyone came. It's amazing. He talked about pastors. They just jumped over. They left this man hurting. Then he talked about the businessman. But there was this one person, the Good Samaritan, who stopped everything and said, I will take care of this person. I will take care of this person. So the community without Jesus is totally lost. But also you could be asking, what else? Why do we do what we do? Because there are real challenges in our society. There are real challenges. There are real problems. Some of us believers, we are so careless. You look at somebody walking on the streets and they are talking to themselves. They are talking to themselves and then you start laughing. That person is in problems. Problems. He probably doesn't know where the next meal is going to come from. He could easily get knocked by a car. That is why we must be sensitive. Tell your neighbor, be sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the move of God. When you take time to sit with people to try and hear them out, people have real problems. That is why it will take the church. It will take the church. Not UN. I am so glad that the church must be in the UN so that they can cause real transformation. You know, in his ministry, Jesus taught at length when it comes to community care. And in the parable of the sheep and the goats, you know, Jesus divides all the people of the earth into two camps. I want you to hear this very, very, very carefully because this is what we live for. Every time we do what we do, your goal must be eternity. When you go to work, you get up in the morning, you're going to work, your goal must be eternity. Not today. Eternity. When you meet people, when you talk to people, your goal must be eternity. Where are they going to go when they die? That must be our goal. So Jesus divides up people in two camps in Matthew. Matthew 25, 34 says this. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me water. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me again. Then the righteous will answer him. The righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you, a stranger, and welcome you, or naked, and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison, and we visited you? And the king will answer. This is what Jesus will say. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So it must start from where you are. Even in your family, some of us probably came here. You drove here and you never spoke to your wife. It's true. The wife never spoke to the husband, but you're coming to the same church. If you do it to the least of this, even just saying hello is so important. That is why we are a community. That is why we are a church. Given the stakes in this parable, it is hard to imagine anything more important than correctly identifying the least of this. Do you know, the least of this could be in your own family. Could be in the neighbor next door. It could be that. Because Jesus himself found himself in a place where he was surrounded by people who were hurting. People who were confused. People were all around him. No wonder people followed Jesus. He had a solution for them. So people were coming to Jesus. Matthew 9:36 says that when he saw the crowds, he was moved. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. It's amazing how Jesus brings the concept of a shepherd. A shepherd must be a good one, but we have some very bad shepherds around. Very bad shepherd. You milk the sheep and let them die. You have to. God help us. God help us. Ever wondered why the Bible calls us sheep? Because sheep will go anywhere. But you must know who the shepherd is, friends. The amazing thing about Jesus is that he did not stop at only having compassion. He went the extra mile. He went the extra mile. Jesus did not just say, oh, that is so bad. Those people are poor. They are really poor. Oh, that's okay. We'll pray for them. He stopped everything. He stopped everything. The story of the Samaritan woman at the well. This lady was hiding behind religion saying, oh, this is how we worship. This is how we have always done this. But she had major problems. It had to take the love of God to confront her. Jesus then told her, you know what? This is your life. When she discovered that the person she was having a conversation with was no ordinary man, her life was transformed. Church, today we have the Holy Spirit with us. That can he will guide you into all truth so that you can become more sensitive and aware to what's going on around about you. Jesus has promised you that. Wait on him. I am so excited that starting next week, you need to invite someone. We are going to go back and start focusing on the Holy Spirit in our new series. Understanding the person of the Holy Spirit, his work in the life of a Christian. We are going to understand that. If all this that we are talking about is to be something that is tangible and long-lasting, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. So, another man, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. The Bible says he was rich. If he wasn't rich, he wouldn't say, you know what, I'm going to give all my riches to the poor. He was a loaded man. But he was a thief. He was corrupt. And people had labeled him. Like we do today. You see someone driving a nice car, you're like, that's corruption. He must be very corrupt. So Zacchaeus had this label. And he had the desire. He needed something more than what he owned. Like many of us, he needed something more. So Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is coming. He runs and he climbs the sycamore tree. When he climbs the sycamore tree, his heart was, if I can only see him. You see, that is where you need to start. If I can only see Jesus. But God had something more in store for Zacchaeus. Imagine the crowd. That is why God has called us as a church to step away from the crowd. because the crowd doesn't see clearly. People were just going. You remember the story of Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus is calling out, "Son of David, save me." They're telling him, "Stop, don't disturb the big man." Even with this one, I can tell you, I think that people were literally surprised. Jesus stopping all of a sudden and saying, "Zacchaeus, come down, come down. Today, I am going to dine with you." Everyone is like, "Eh, you mean this man was up in the tree?" We must be sensitive, friends. You see, we can get so busy doing life, even in our cell, even in our zone. We move and we don't even stop. And yet, near us, where we are, people are hurting. We must stop everything like Jesus did. The Bible says that when Jesus stopped and he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, he said, "Zacchaeus, today I'm going to die." That people around were indignant. They started to complain. "Why are you eating with a sinner?" Because in our world today, people will label you. But I want to tell you something. Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He wants you. He desires that you today will come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day of salvation. Jesus talks about the lost coin. He talks about the lost sheep. He talks about the lost son. Because one is so important to God. It doesn't matter your tribe, your social status, where you come from, even your yesterday. He doesn't care about that. He cares about your life so much that if he would die again, he would do it today. And you need to know that. So stop living in fear. Stop living in shame. God wants you. He wants you to be a part of this big family. Because when he hung on that cross, when Jesus died, he died it. He died because he loved us so much. And he did not want anyone to perish. And that must be our goal. To reach out as a church. We cannot get so comfortable in this cozy place and stop reaching out. We must go. Some of us complain. Why? We should just concentrate with the 13 celebration points and then leave. No. Now the Lord has surprised us. 36 celebration points in Kampala. How are we going to get there if our people have not gotten the heart of God? We must do something. Because God loves people. He loves people irrespective of where they come from. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 8 verse 4, it says, "And I wonder, why are people so important to you? Why do you even think about them? Why do you care so much about humans?" You see, when you understand this, it will even change the way you pray. You come and you're so free with God, you're like, "God, but really, why do you love me so much?" And you're excited about what God is doing. It changes everything. But people around about us need to discover this same love that we have today. They need to discover. So how can we do this? How? You tell your neighbor, "Each one reach one. Each one reach one." Friends, we are close to 30,000 people. If every one of us committed themselves to reaching out to one person or to pray for one person, we would reach out to 30,000 people. And yet, we are supposed to have a 10-10. You know what? The Focus 10 group. Where each one of us is committed to praying for 10 people. Can you imagine 30,000 people committing themselves to praying for their Focus 10? 300,000 people. Surely. The anarchy that we see on our roads where someone gets an accident and people come to rip them off would not happen. So there's work for us to do, friends. There's work for us to do. So each one, reach one. The only thing that makes the difference is whether or not the person has put their faith in Christ. People can have good intentions. Oh, they can tell you, "Oh, me, I come to church every day. Me, I greet people every day. I smile.
you have to give your life to Christ. Because good intentions alone will not take you to heaven. I must tell you this today. It will take you to heaven. So we must initiate conversations. Talk to people. Find out what their life is. We met a doctor one time when we were having our last born. My first born, the birth was a bit traumatic. My wife was in labor for about 2 days. And guess what? The doctors did not allow me in the labor ward. It was bad. So I sat out in the cold, waiting, anxious. Oh, but our last born, it was different because the doctor knew Jesus. He brought me in. I dressed up like a doctor. We even held hands and prayed like I was going to do the operation. I felt so good. But the first one, you see, this kind of doctor is the kind of doctor that we all need. The one who recognizes that it's no longer him, but Christ who is in him. Every one of us needs to be in that place. Give Jesus a big hand clap. But also secondly, very quickly, get involved. Tell your neighbor, get involved. Get involved in community projects. Get involved in community projects. We must get involved. The story of the early church is an intriguing story. An intriguing story. There's a guy called Rodney Stark. He was an unbeliever. He did a survey on the life of the Christians. And he wrote this piece and he said, during the Roman Empire, when the Roman Empire was at its highest, at its peak, at its zenith, guess what? The church, the Christians decided, when the Romans were sacrificing kids, the church decided to adopt those kids. When the Romans were living a high level of immorality everywhere, the Christians chose that for us, we will be morally upright. When the society degraded women, they did everything not to allow a woman be the kind of person God has allowed them to be. The church chose to do the opposite, to empower women. When people were rebelling, the church chose to do the right thing. This is what God is calling us to do, friends. They aimed at the pain. Are you aiming at the pain? Through ourselves, we need to ask God for every opportunity. The early church, even when they were in trouble, they would ask God for more. Give us more opportunity. They did not rest until they saw the last person come to the saving knowledge of Christ. Is that our heart? Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. This is because, as a church, we must remain humble. We must remain loyal. We must remain committed, knowing and understanding that everything we do is to the glory of God. It's not to the glory of man. It's to the glory of God. And God is going to empower us as we focus, as we understand what He's doing. God is going to empower you, even in your workplace. Reach out to people. There's a line that I understood yesterday so very clearly when we're looking at the life of the prodigal son. This is what he says. He comes to his father all, you know what, in an aggressive manner, and he says, give me. I want to go. And this depicts our life, really. Every time we come to God, we are like, give me, give me, give me, give me. We never care about those around about us. But let me tell you, when this young man rebelled and went away, he squandered everything that his father had given him. Then he came to his senses. Say senses. Say senses. He came to his senses and he was like, today I must go back. And when he came back to his father, this was what he said. He did not say, give me. This is what he told his father. He said, Father, make me. He said, make me. Today, I want to ask you. It doesn't matter how long you have been in salvation. Today, your prayer must change. God, make me more aware of what's around about me. God, help us as a church. Make us that kind of church that you have ordained us to be. Make us. You're here. You have never given your life to Christ. And you've been running away from God. You hear the message. But today, ask God, make me one of your sons. Make me one of your daughters. And God is faithful. He will do it because he is faithful and he loves you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.